And welcome back to Earth First Radio. All right, in the second half of our nationally and internationally recorded hour, we have with us in the studio Redwood Mary. Hi, Redwood. Mary.
Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here in Santa Cruz tonight.
All right. Why are you in Santa Cruz? Why aren't you up in the Redwoods, or the Big Redwoods anyway?
Why am I in Santa Cruz? I've been traveling around the country since last year. I'm on road time, so calendars don't make any sense to me anymore. I've been taking on the road the plight of the Redwoods from behind the Redwood Curtain to the public, a people-to-people presentation in partnership with Julia Butterfly Hill via cell phone from her tree sit up in Stafford, California. And also, we recently added on Nate Mattson, who just celebrated 1 year of his tree sit in Freshwater outside of Eureka, California.
And that's two of about nine tree sits that are going on right now, most of those in Oregon. There's one in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm. And I hear there's two women in Washington State also.
Yes.
Yeah, over 150 days now. And what I have been doing is, as I travel around the country, I'm finding out that people don't have an idea of what's been going on behind the Redwood Curtain. Some people have heard about Julia. Some people have heard about incidences such as David Gypsy Chain, him being murdered or killed by an angry logger last September 17th, a year ago. But people don't have the full picture of what's going on up in Redwood Country.
You say David Chain was killed. Most of us think he was murdered.
We could go back and forth with that, but the way I perceive it is the lesson from that was the battle is being pitted between environmentalists and loggers. And unfortunately, with the jobs going down the tubes, thanks to the clear-cutting and the prediction of loss of jobs years ago, loggers are in a tough place. They have families to feed, and they're operating out of fear, and the anger comes out, unfortunately, against the environmentalists. I really believe the logger did not want to kill Gypsy.
And it sure sounded to me like he did on the tape.
Well, I think what happened was, in my perception of it, is it shows you where anger and rage, no matter who it comes from, can get out of hand and result in tragedy.
And it certainly was nothing that the Pacific Lumber Company did anything to prevent or minimize.
Right.
Certainly their culpability in the death of Gypsy was most apparent. I mean, they knew there were protesters out in the woods, and still they let their loggers go in there.
Yeah, unfortunately in Mendocino County and Humboldt County, we're having to go into the woods and monitor what's going on with the lumber companies. And not only are we monitoring, we're doing the agency's jobs. I myself and quite a few people up in Mendocino County have been spending a lot of time this summer when I'm not on the road taking the timber harvest plans and the topographic maps that are submitted by the company when they file their public comments and finding out what's really out there. And we're finding violations of the forest practice rules. We're finding spotted owl and marbled murrelet habitat. We're finding quite a few nasty things out there. And when we go out there, we're basically putting our lives on the line because you never know who you're going to run across in the woods. Also, in August, there was a few of us that were even sleeping at the logging gates in Mendocino County. And we were there with an appellate court order that was issued by the judge that asked for a stopping of a harvesting on a logging plan till it could be reviewed in court. And we were there now enforcing the appellate court decision. Something is really wrong with this picture, especially when taxpayers' money is supposed to be paying agencies to do these jobs.
And yet we have to accept habitat conservation plans that don't protect the habitat. They allow extensive logging in riparian areas and on very steep slopes that is going to just continue the kind of problems that we've had in all of Redwood Country in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. Concerning the amount of logging that's going on, certainly Option 9 of the Northwest Forest Plan isn't protecting anything. Spotted owls are dying faster than they were before. What's going to happen?
Well, what's going to happen is, what's already has happened is we're seeing the corporate takeover of, we've seen that in the past years of locally owned and family-owned logging businesses. We all know the history behind Pacific Lumber and Charles Hurwitz and Maxam, but what a lot of people don't know about what happened last year in Mendocino County with Louisiana Pacific giving
up. They clear-cut practically all their property back in the early 90s.
Right. There is almost no old growth left in Mendocino County. We're on second and third growth forests. So what they did last year, Louisiana Pacific, since it was no longer profitable for them to continue logging, they gave up their Sonoma County and Mendocino County holdings and put it on the market.
After moving their logging mill to Mexico.
They do have, there was a mill left, believe it or not, but not much of it was coming through there. What they basically left was 235,000 acres of severely cut over forest. And at one point, the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors was considering purchasing this land, and there was environmentalists and community members were looking at how to use this land sustainably to create ecotourism jobs, etc. And before we knew it, Mendocino Redwood Company came into the picture.
And what's Mendocino Redwood Company?
Well, the Fisher family.
The Fisher family?
The Fisher family, the founders and executives of the Gap clothing empire, which is Banana Republic, Old Navy, the Gap, Gap Kids, Baby Gap, etc., started up Sansom Partners, which then started up Mendocino Redwood Company. We have three of the Fisher family members, Don, John, and Bob, involved in this Mendocino Redwood Company. And they basically purchase all the lands from Louisiana Pacific Corporation. And what they have been doing is continuing a liquidation logging practice, or I should say what they're doing is going for broke. We have the old Louisiana Pacific tree inventory data that was available to the public before Louisiana Pacific Company bailed out of Mendocino, Sonoma counties. And we've been comparing that data to the timber harvest plans that Mendocino Redwood Company have been filing and the ones they inherited, the open plans from Louisiana Pacific. And what we're finding is that they're going for broke. They're introduced something called variable retention harvesting. What they're trying to tell us is they're not clear-cutting, even though the timber harvest plans will say a clear-cut. They're trying to tell the public it's variable retention, meaning they'll leave one or two conifers. If there's 12 conifers on an acre, they'll leave one or two and then call it variable retention to leave room for some trees for wildlife habitat. And they're not necessarily seed trees.
And then they come back in later and remove those? Do we know that yet?
Well, if you got one tree sitting there in a one-acre parcel, that's not much left to come and take out. The real sad thing is that the species, you know, us human beings can move into apartment houses and coexist like that, but I can't picture spotted owls and all these species sharing one tree. Nature does not work like that. Unfortunately, we're losing our coho salmon, which are on the verge of extinction. The real sad thing is I've watched my community up in Mendocino County come together and try to negotiate with the Fisher family and Sandy Dean of Mendocino Redwood Company. We even put together a half-day workshop for them where we brought in water specialists, water quality specialists, biologists, people who lived on these lands for 30 years who've been monitoring the timber harvest plans. And we've asked the Fisher family to start trying to do something sustainable. We asked them to withdraw the worst of their logging plans and establish a program for seriously damaged forest areas. I've walked some of these lands with Sandy Dean myself, and it's devastating. It's really devastating, the damage that's going on there. Unfortunately, Mendocino Redwood Company, which I, as I mentioned, is an investment of the Fisher family of the Gap Clothing Empire, has been touting their pursuit of a green label certification by the Forest Stewardship Council. And they're been beating their chests and saying, oh, we're applying for smartwood certification, so we're the good guys. But guess what? In August, when the certification council came, actually it was the Scientific Certification Systems in Point Richmond did the actual assessment. The Fisher Logging Company was turned down, and the
that's partially because of their practices for clear cutting
and conditions of the lands. They're not
herbicide application. Was
yes,
part of it?
They're not practicing sustainable forestry, and the public has to remember when you're using herbicides. It's no longer a natural forest. You're not sustaining the forest. You're changing the ecology forever. And another important factor with this certification team, they went public with this information. That's highly unusual. They also asked the Mendocino Redwood Company to minimize their public statements pertaining to its long-term pursuit of the Smartwood certification. They've been basically, since I've been watching them, using PR. They hired an extra publicist to work against us. But the thing is, we have the data. We have the evidence. And if you walk the land and saw what's going on there, that doesn't lie.
All right. So the Fishers are definitely in trouble. We've got to get out the news. Why don't you join the network here and get all the latest stuff. You send your email to chalice@wco.com. That's Chalice, C-H-A-L-I-C-E, at WCO.com.
And you will get periodic updates on what you can do and how you can help. We also have a website, www.elksoft.com/GWA. That's ELKSOFT.com/GWA.
All right, and be sure to buy your clothes somewhere other than the Gap Banana Republic Old Navy or Gap Kids stores.
And the most important thing is to write the Gap family. Write the Fisher family if you got your pens out. The Fisher family, care of Bob Fisher, Gap Incorporated, 900 Cherry Avenue, San Bruno, California, 94066. Tell them that you will not give them your dollars until they return to responsible handling of the forest to start protecting the degraded old growth systems that are disappearing and to stop the sweatshop labor practices.
Okay, what's that address one more time, Redwood Mary?
That is Bob Fisher, care of Gap Incorporated, 900 Cherry Avenue, San Bruno, California, 94066. It's not enough just to boycott. The companies have to know why we are not spending our dollars and taking back our economic power.
All right. So, Redwood Mary is going to make a phone call here to the Northwoods of California. And while she's doing that, I'm going to slip in a little more news here. All right. The National Marine Fisheries Service says it's taking steps to protect dwindling stellar sea lion populations while also allowing a $670 million pollock fishery to continue. National Marine Fisheries Service was required to clarify its plans to protect the marine mammals by a federal court order issued in July. We have strengthened our protections for stellar sea lions as we address the court's concerns. And the result is good news for the endangered species and for fishermen. Do we have Julia on the line?
We now have Julia on the line.
Hi, Julia.
Hello there.
We're linking you up. Here we go.
Just hold the mouthpiece. You can hold this to your ear. Just hold the mouthpiece out like
got
that.
Got it.
There
okay,
you go.
Okay, we're all set to go here. Julia, we just went over what's been happening in Mendocino County with the Fisher family who owned the Gap Empire and talking about how their practices have been devastating the old growth, what's left of the old growth forest in Mendocino County. And we were also talking about how they have been rejected for Smartwood certification. And I thought it would be great for you to speak a little bit about what's going on up in your neck of the woods and what people can do to create change.
Great. Well, December 10th, 1997, I climbed into this over 1,000-year-old ancient redwood tree, now known to the world as Luna, because Pacific Lumber Max Am Corporation came into Humboldt County and began destroying the ancient forests, turning them into clear cuts and mudslides, tripling the rate of timber harvest out in the forest, which means tripling the rate of ancient trees falling into the ground as well. They followed up their clear-cut practices with dumping herbicides and diesel fuel. The government just made it legal for Pacific Lumber Max Am Corporation to dump 40 gallons of diesel fuel per acre onto the clear cuts to act as a carrying agent for the herbicides. They light their clear cuts with diesel fuel or with napalm. I've sat here and watched them napalm what used to be a thriving forest that they turned into a clear cut. So I know that they're doing that practice. I've seen it with my own eyes. And found out just the level of disrespect and devastation and destruction on behalf of this timber company at the mandate of this timber company, I just felt compelled that I had to do something. A lot of protests have happened in Humboldt County against Pacific Lumber Max Am Corporation and spotlighting the Headwaters Forest. Unfortunately, the push of the activist was to protect 60,000 acres. That's not the unfortunate part. It's great that the activists were pushing for a 60,000 acre complex. And within this area, 60,000 acres, there was six ancient groves, and including residual second, third growth, as well as including areas that have already been clear cut. But the reason that they wanted to get this area protected was because it connects national forest with state forest and would act as a corridor for species to travel, as well as to protect those six ancient groves and restore the clear cut areas so that buffer zones could be protected around these groves, so that these groves can last for another few thousand years at least. The Max Am Corporation is really running rampant. They've ripped off taxpayers to the tune of $1.6 billion. They've raided the pension fund of the workers of Pacific Lumber. They're cutting the forest down at an unprecedented rate. They're causing massive mudslides, one of which is right next to me that destroyed seven families' homes in the little town of Stafford below. Everything that they're doing is an assault on every level here, on human life, on animal life, on tree life, on the quality of our air, the quality of our water. Everything is being annihilated by this company. What people can do is get actively and vocally involved in demanding, number one, that all remaining old growth be protected. We're talking about here in Northern California that less than 3% now of the original redwood forest is all that's left. Over 97% has been destroyed. And old growth across this country, 95% has been destroyed. So we're looking at about 5% of all the original old growth in this country. And around the world, the numbers are fastly diminishing. As we sit here and talk this evening, that number is falling. In Australia, old growth is being cut down to make paper. That's about the equivalent of taking a Rembrandt and shredding it for toilet paper. So our old growth is really at the forefront of our issues right now because there's so little left and the assault on it is overwhelming. People need to start looking at their daily lives, taking into account of their personal actions. One of the things this action has done for me in my personal life is helped me realize that as I point fingers at corporations like the Gap Fisher Family Empire, at Max Am Pacific Lumber CEO Charles Hurwitz, as I point my fingers at all these things that are going wrong, or corrupt government that gets more and more corrupt the more money they get paid by these corporations, I have to in turn take into my own self-accountability and recognize that every action that I take and every inaction that I don't take is a part of shaping the world. And so in that understanding, all of us as consumers of natural resources, from the air that we breathe, to the water that we drink, to the food that we eat, to this incredible, magnificent planet that gives us life, we have to decide to say enough. And we have to be willing to make our actions meet our words. We have to be willing to start living more simply. We need to reduce what we're taking from the earth. We need to reuse what we already have. And we need to start very vocally and actively being willing to put our bodies where our words are, where our beliefs are, because it's kind of like our muscles in our body. The less we exercise our muscles in our body, the more they atrophy. And with the quality of life, with the rights of all species, all living beings to be alive and to function as a beautiful oneness, if we don't exercise the responsibility of upholding that rights, then our rights disappear as well. And that's really what we need to do. There's so many things we could do, from writing letters to our legislative members, to writing letters to the editors of our local papers. That's a huge way to get our voice heard, is through letters to editors. And then taking those simple steps in our daily lives. If people want to find out more information, they can go to a very easy website at www.lunatree.org. Lunatree is one word, L-U-N-A-T-R-E-E. The group of people that I work with Circle of Life Foundation, are working to update that and make it more easily accessible, as well as starting to link to all kinds of social and environmental groups.
All right, that's www.lunatree.org, right?
Yes.
All right, we just have another minute, so I want to thank you for coming on to Earth First Radio, Julia, and talking to our listeners. We're currently heard on the Internet all around the world and in 8 stations around the country are rebroadcasting this show. So
fantastic.
I want to thank
Keep up
you
the
for
great work.
Coming on and talking. A final word for our listeners?
I think my final word would be empowerment, for us all to recognize the power that we all have and that we all are leaders, that we need to look within ourselves, find out what we do best, and offer it to the greater whole in making our world a balanced, healthy, loving, and respectful place to live.
Thank you very much, Julia.
Thank you.
And good luck on your tree sit there. Really appreciate having you up there while we're down here. All right. Well, I want to thank Redwood Mary for coming in tonight and talking about the Gap and the Mendocino Redwood Company. If you have a need to get some more information, where can you go, Redwood Mary?
Okay, for some more information, again, the website that we gave out was www.elksoft.com/GWA. You could reach Julia's website via our website also. And the last thing I would like to leave with people tonight is to remember that Gandhi once said, "We must be the change we wish to see in the world." There's no room for separation or creating further competition in the struggle for our last gasp for life on this planet. And if we're going to create a revolution, it's going to be have to be a revolution based out of love and taking our dollars back. It's that simple.
All right. Once again, thank you very much, Redwood Mary. And that's it for Earth First Radio for today. To get news, announcements, or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, please send us email at cruzeif@cruzeio.com. That's cruzeif@cruzeio.com. cruzeif@cruzeio.com. Or you can send letters, donations, CDs, or cassettes to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send all announcements at least 3 weeks in advance so Uncle Dennis can get them on the air in time. I don't like to read those old, stale announcements. For more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal there at P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Earth First Radio is broadcast live in Santa Cruz on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday evening at 8 p.m., Or if you're somewhere else in the world, you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's Radio for All, the number 4, radioforall.web.net. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need is downloadable free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast by a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. If you found us on the web, please ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio for everyone else in town. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you once again for listening, and please tune in next week. We're going to head on out of here with some Alice DiMicelli. This one's called Defend the Earth.
Defend the earth.